till 8 o'clock.
The heart of Robin Hood County.
BBC Radio Nottingham.
Now, whether it's your phone, TV or even a rice cooker, technology is all around you every day of the week. It's always developing and it continues to impact society in lots of different ways. Technology is not always the easiest to understand or master. So here to talk tech is the local man from Nottingham, Bal Bansal. He's the head of technology and innovation for a well-known soft drinks company. And he also writes a blog about this subject. I mean, what have you written recently on your blog recently then? Bal?
So a couple of things, really. So on the blog, wrote about, well, there's a general election coming up.
Yeah.
So I wrote how technology is being used in politics overall. And wrote about a couple other subjects as well, you know, how customer service could do with technology, get better using tech, and a couple of other things like that.
And how important do you think technology is when it comes to something like an election, then, Bal?
Oh, I think it's critical. I absolutely do. You know, we could take, for example, Trump.
Right.
In the States.
Okay, yeah.
He really used his Twitter account.
Yeah.
So he's got something like, you know, 28.3 million followers, last time I checked. And, you know, one tweet, majority of those people are going to see it.
Yeah.
And so that's a huge power to have, you know, tweeting all those people. And he was constantly on Twitter, you know, spreading his message, flying around, talking to people. And so social media and technology had a huge impact, I believe, in Trump winning. And Clinton wasn't as effective as what she could have been.
Okay, we're talking elections that are coming up very, very soon here in the UK. Do you think there could come a time when you'll be able to cast your vote online or using some other form of technology in the very near future?
I think it will. It's got to happen, right? It's got to happen. You know, if you look at payment from cash to using your debit credit card to now you can pay using your mobile phone, the advancements are huge. And same again, you know, with the election, rather than having to go down, you can vote by post, etc. But there will be advancements in that side of things as well. And also, you know, some of the folk running, you know, some of the folk are running to be an MP and, you know, all the guys running in elections, they'll be using more and more technology to reach out to the voters as well.
See, when I was growing up, Bal, I was growing up, well, in the late 60s, early 70s, and there used to be what I used to call intellect intelligence, and then came emotional intelligence. And now we're living in a world of artificial intelligence, which is the world of robotics that you probably would know. I mean, what next then?
Robots are going to take over.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You know, I've looked at...
It won't have any emotions, though.
Well, you say that. They're working on that as well now. So
really?
Yeah, they'll understand behaviours. You know, so if I sit here with my, you know, arms folded, it either means one or two things. It means I'm cold or it means I'm not interested in you. And robots will be able to pick that up through cameras. Yeah? So let's imagine a robot has two eyes, but the eyes are cameras. It'll pick up on that. And so all the intelligence behind it, someone's programmed it, right?
Yes.
If Bal sits there with his arms folded, it's either cold, so put the temperature up, or he's not interested, so change the subject. So that intelligence is getting a lot more smarter, a lot more... it's being able to pick up a number of items that it wouldn't be able to before.
But do you not think that intelligence will depend on how emotional intelligence the person is who's actually putting the software into that artificial intelligence?
Well, it's like anything you program, right? So let's say you're baking a cake.
Right.
Okay, so you've got certain ingredients, you follow a recipe, and sometimes you might add your own twist to it. Yeah. So let's say you're making a cheesecake. Yeah, I like cheesecakes. Let's say you're making a cheesecake and you add your own twist to it. That's you adding your twist.
Right.
And similar, when you're trying to program a robot, you know, you put your things into it, but absolutely then other people will add parts into it. But over a period of time, it will become clever. It will learn by itself.
Right.
There's a lot of robots out there that will learn for themselves. And there'll be queries that will pick up. So if it sees something that, hold on, I don't know what that is. I've not got it registered. I don't know what that means. It'll bank it. And then, you know, there could be a program that goes to it and has a look and says, okay, what are these queries? Okay, this is what this means. This is what that means. Then over a period of time, it'll start to learn.
Right.
Similar to kind of cars nowadays.
Sure, yeah.
You know, cars can learn your driving behaviours and patterns and, you know, react accordingly and et cetera, et cetera. Similar to that, you know, a friend of mine, he's got a new car.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of these features where it'll brake for you. If you're too slow to react, it's got cameras at the front. If there's a car in front, brakes, they'll brake in time if you're too slow. And I've been telling him, you've got to test it. Obviously, he doesn't want to damage his car. But, you know, that learning from there, you know, the car's learning what you're driving is, will he be able to stop? Do I need to kick in? Those sort of things.
Now, something that's been in tech news this week is a story about a pilot program for police to use artificial intelligence to determine whether a suspect should be kept in custody. I mean, what's your view on that then, Bal?
So this is all based on data.
Yeah.
We call it big data or advanced analytics. Absolutely. You know, we've got tons and tons of data. And using that data to make a decision is what's happening in this case. So I read this story. It's fantastic what they're doing. Mm. So it's all the data they've got. And that data will then give a decision if this person is going to, you know, commit another crime, do something else. And it looks at a whole different type of data. Companies out there are already using lots of data to influence you. You know, just switching back to the politics part, I had a political party sponsor a post that came up on my Instagram feed.
Right.
Which I was like, well, I've never liked them. I've never, you know, liked any of the pages or any comments. But still, they can reach out to me through data. I must have somewhere, somehow, made a comment about it. And so in this case...
Is that a good thing, though?
Well, that's a great question. For them, they're reaching out to me.
Yeah, yeah,
as
absolutely.
A potential voter.
Yeah.
So I took notice of it. I read it. And so it's kind of registered to me. Is it a good or bad thing? I don't know. We're going to see more of this. We're going to see more personalization. And it's all using that data. So in the point of where the police are using it to, you know, come to a decision about this criminal, are they going to reoffend, are they not? They're using data, and it's credible data as well that they've got, to make an informed decision rather than one person sat there thinking, yeah, he looks like the kind of guy who's going to recall.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, that's the kind of thing that worries me sometimes, to be honest with you, about one thing, because you're so much involved with technology, and with the media, is I was reading something in the papers not long ago where they were talking about the fact that young people these days, they don't want to be rich, but they want to become famous. Yeah. And people are falling out with each other in the sense that if they put something on Facebook and they're running around the room, finding the phone and saying, how come only so many people like what I've actually posted on Facebook, but the other person's actually double the amount and all that type of stuff. They fall out with each other. Yeah. Or it could end up having some sort of a, you know, not mental health issues, but they can actually get depressed with some of the things because of all these kind of things. What's your view on that, Bal?
You know what? It used to be like back in the day, you just look at your neighbor's house and you look at the green grass and you look at their car and you'd probably want to do a little bit better. You'd think, I want a better car. I want my grass to look better, etc. Is that, but just evolved now. So on Facebook, all you're doing is you're looking at people's holiday snaps, and then you're thinking to yourself, well, I want to go on holiday. I want to take some photos and show them, you know, I've had a good holiday as well. And people do start thinking like that, the ones who are constantly on Facebook and other social media. I think we've lost to appreciate and be, you know, kind and say, hey, that looks like you've had a great holiday. I hope it was good. Hope you had a good time. How's the food? People won't really do that now. They'll be thinking, right, I need to book a holiday.
Yeah.
So it's not good. And, you know...
And I'm not talking about young people. I'm talking about somebody I was talking with the other day. She's 83 years of age. And she was saying that her friend has got more likes than she has.
Right.
And she was quite upset. And I said, well, she is your friend. You know that type of stuff. So it's not just about young people now. It's worldwide. It's all ages.
It is. Everyone's always kind of a little bit competitive as well. Mm. You know, they want more likes. And it goes back to your point, you know, people are posting up photos and doing things and people are kind of having a look and seeing and, oh no, why have they got more likes than me?
Yeah.
I need to post more likes. And then it builds that kind of attraction and then more people then kind of engage with that and start asking more questions. And it's all about that popularity. You know, this 83-year-old person, whoever it is, they want to be more popular. They want people to ask about them, you know, how are things with you and et cetera. You know, what I recommend to people is take a break from social media sometimes as well. You know?
That's the point I was going to come to. We need to take that kind of break.
Absolutely.
Not take it too seriously.
You go on holiday to have a break from work.
Yeah.
You know? Take a break from Facebook. There'll be times I won't go on Facebook for a few days, maybe, you know, 3-4 days. And other social media I'm a bit more active on and I might keep away from it for a day.
Right.
It really depends how you use social media, how you use technology. There's a lot of people on their phones all the time. Once again, you know, you're always getting emails. Do you need to be checking them constantly? Can you just wait till end of day? So, you know, you do need to take a break from technology.
Okay, words of wisdom there from Bal Bansal. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
For coming and talking with me. Thank you.